You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
Good morning, this is Xiaomi with John Culver, Group President of China and Asia Pacific for Starbucks on The Breakfast Grill today. Positioning itself as a premium coffee brand, 9 months ago, there were almost 3,300 Starbucks cafes in the China and Asia Pacific region, representing just over 18% of global cafes for Starbucks. So Starbucks plans to add about 600 new cafes to the region this year and expects to see China overtake Canada as its second largest market in 2014. Starbucks has recently celebrated its 15th anniversary in Taiwan and Thailand, and will be doing so in Malaysia shortly. John Culver was previously president for the China and APEC region and was promoted to group president in May this year. Good morning, John. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, congratulations on a promotion to group president.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's an exciting time for Starbucks, and the opportunity that we have to continue to grow around the world is incredible.
Well, just to give the listener some perspective of the size and rate of growth of the market you oversee, consumers in Asia Pacific spent $9.3 billion on coffee shops last year. And this is 66% up from 5 years before, and that's before even taking China into account. So Starbucks is said to have over 25% of the regional market share. Is that the right ballpark?
Well, I think, you know, we've been in China and Asia Pacific in the region now for over 17 years with our first store in Japan back in 1996. And, you know, by the end of this year, we'll have over 4,000 cafes throughout the region in 14 different markets. We've just opened our two newest markets here in the region. In October last year was India. And then most recently in January was Vietnam. And honestly, we're very humbled by the way in which the consumers across the region have accepted Starbucks into their daily lives. When we first entered the market, here in this part of the world, there were many who thought that Starbucks would not be successful and that, you know, the coffee house culture did not exist. Mm-hmm. And I think what we've demonstrated is that over the last 17 years, we've built a unique type of brand and a unique type of experience for our customers, one that hasn't previously existed, one that focuses in on serving high-quality coffee in a personalized and customized way, and one that has created a third place for our customers to come and experience Starbucks with their family and friends in our stores.
Coffee in places like Indonesia and Vietnam, it's not a new thing. Vietnam's famous for its coffee. You know, Malaysia's got its own local coffee culture as well. Why do you think Starbucks is actually doing quite so well in Asia? What is it that's prompting people to part with that extra dollars, because it's costing more to buy a coffee in Starbucks than it would in another local coffee shop? What is it about Starbucks?
Well, I think what's unique about Starbucks is, first and foremost, it's the quality of the coffee that we serve. We source only the top 3% of Arabica coffee grown across the world. And our coffee buying group goes to over 37 countries around the world to find only the highest quality Arabica with unique flavors and blends. We then bring that coffee into our system. We actually roast the coffee ourselves to the Starbucks standards and what we call the Starbucks roast. We then carefully package it and then obviously take great care in serving it to our customers. We call our stores the last 10 feet. And if you think of the care that we take in sourcing coffee and packaging the coffee and then getting that to our stores, it then falls into the hands of our baristas to make sure that they provide that great quality espresso beverage, personalized and customized the way the customers want it and the way the customers expect it. And what we've seen is that has resonated for customers and has earned the loyalty, the respect, and the trust of customers. Mm-hmm. Then you couple that with the fact that our baristas interacting with the customers, knowing them by name, knowing their favorite drink, and obviously having great, beautiful stores where customers can come with their family and friends. I think that
Ambience and the free Wi-Fi counts for a bit.
It's helped.
In terms of regional market share, do you have any targets that you're aiming to reach in, say, the next 5 years in terms of growing your market share?
Well, I think, you know, we've got based on what we've built here over the last 17 years, we've got a very strong foundation from which to grow. And if you look at, by the end of this year, having over 4,000 stores in China, by 2015, we will have 1,500 stores. We've just opened our 1,000th store in Japan. We'll double the size of the Korean market over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And we're here in Malaysia celebrating 15 years, where today we have 140 stores in Malaysia. Over the next 4 years, we will add another 100 stores here in this market. So looking across the region, regardless of the country, we see a great opportunity to continue to grow our retail store footprint. And then in addition, when you look outside of our retail stores, we are looking at ways in which to reach our customers through other channels. So for instance, grocery and convenience stores and selling our products through that. We see a tremendous opportunity in that. Mm-hmm. And we're making huge investments in that area as well as we look to the future.
So in terms of regional growth, people are expecting you to double employee numbers to 40,000 in the APAC region in 5 years. Is that going to be focused on, say, the newer markets such as Vietnam, or are we talking about a general spread through the region?
I think it's across all of the 14 markets that we operate. Okay. You know, as we look to grow, we've got to continue to attract, retain, develop high-quality people that share the values that Starbucks has. What's unique about Starbucks is not only the coffee that we serve, but also our people. And we call our employees partners, and they are the ones that bring the Starbucks experience to life. We make huge investments in our people. We make sure that we continue to invest in them so that they can grow as long as we continue to grow the company.
You mentioned a 1,000th coffee shop in China opening recently. With the recent problems and turmoils in China, particularly with regards to their liquidity issues, are you expecting lower numbers from China? Is that going to affect your revenues in China?
Well, I think in China, we will open our 1,000th store this year. And next year, China becomes our second largest market outside the U.S. And by 2015, we'll have 1,500 stores. But the numbers aren't important. We want to grow our brand in a very holistic way and in the right way, and one that continues to elevate the brand. It's very important in China and doing business, not only in China but across the region, that we are stay very focused and disciplined in the way in which we grow. And you make sure that, number one, the experience is what the customers expect in our stores, and that we continue to elevate the brand as we grow. So for us, not only looking at retail stores, but what are we doing to give back to the local communities? We've obviously done a lot of work in Yunnan around coffee and around sourcing coffee in Yunnan. Yep. This is a way that we see a great opportunity to elevate the overall quality of coffee that's grown in Yunnan, and then begin to tell the story of the Yunnan coffee farmer, not only in our stores in China, but then also in our stores across the world.
Well, we'll come back to that Yunnan point in a minute, but you've got three joint venture partners in China, North, East, and South, I believe.
We have one venture partner in East China, and that's Uni Presidents.
Okay.
They've been our partner there for almost 15 years now.
Right. That's the one joint venture partner for the whole country?
Yes, for just the East China area.
Right.
And then we wholly own North China, right. West China, and then Southwest China.
So the menu in the Chinese Starbucks tend to be very localized as such. Do all these regions have different menus in them? You know, how do you cope with having to serve something slightly different in one Starbucks, 100 kilometers away from the next one?
Yeah, let me just say something up front. I think it's important that no matter our ownership structure, whether it's in China or in other markets across the world, we are ownership blind. And if a customer walks in a store here in Malaysia, or a customer walks in a store in Tokyo or in Shanghai, they are going to get the same experience and the same quality level of products served to them. Equally important, though, is that not only do they experience Starbucks from a global perspective in terms of the offering that we have, the espresso beverages, the pastries that we serve in our stores, but that we also introduce some localized items and some localized products that match the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in China, we're just coming out of the dragon dumplings that we featured on our menu over the last 45 days.
Yep.
Those are unique to China, and that's something that's locally relevant to the Chinese consumer. Later this fall, we move into Mid-Autumn Festival, and during that time, we introduce mooncakes, and those are locally relevant as well.
Yep. So back to Yunnan, you mentioned coffee farming. Starbucks has started a coffee farm in Yunnan and recently this year went into a joint venture with a coffee bean purchaser in the same province. Is that a global strategy for Starbucks to start farming its own coffee?
Well, I think what we've done is we've entered a 50-50 or created a 50-50 joint venture with INE Group. And as part of that, we are sourcing and exporting high-quality Arabica coffee. And that's the long-term view that we're taking with this partnership. We've also just recently announced and opened this past year our Farmer Support Center in Yunnan. The Farmer Support Center is staffed by Starbucks agronomists that go out into the local farming community and work with the farming community on elevating the quality of the Arabica coffee that they grow. So work with them on agricultural practices that enhance overall yields, enhance overall quality. We've also worked very closely with the Yunnan government and the Academy of Agricultural Sciences there, where we've brought four or five different varietals of Arabica coffee trees from Central America into Yunnan. And what we've done over the last 4 years is we've had these varietals growing there and watching them to make sure that we can continue to bring you new and unique coffee varietals into China.
I'm speaking to John Culver, Group President of China and APAC for Starbucks. After the break, we will discuss the business model in the region. This is Xiaomi speaking to John Culver, Group President of China and APAC for Starbucks on the Breakfast Grill this morning. So John, in the March quarter earnings release, it showed that there was an 8% increase in same-store sales in the China and Asia Pacific region. Do you have any idea of what the breakdown is between the numbers of transactions versus the increase in spend per customer coming in?
Yeah, I think in the quarter, the second quarter is what you're speaking about, and the majority of that 8% comp was driven by transactions. And that's very encouraging for us because what that tells us is that more and more customers are coming in our stores.
Mm-hmm.
And what we continue to see is that the loyalty is continuing to grow towards Starbucks. And Starbucks is becoming more and more a daily ritual for consumers across the region.
So you have a loyalty type program at Starbucks that gets people to come back in again and again. How does that impact on them spreading the word to their friends? Does that actually increase the number of consumers, or are we talking about the same person coming back for three cups of coffee a day?
Well, I think what we're seeing is the level of frequency of our customers coming in the door is increasing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where customers originally were coming in maybe one time a month, they're now coming in multiple times a week.
Okay.
And that's helping our business to grow. Equally important, though, is that as we've grown our store base and the accessibility of our new stores into new countries, into cities that we haven't previously been in, we continue to attract new consumers into Starbucks and into the brand overall.
How about the pricing side of things? Have you had any price increases recently in this region?
We look at pricing on a market-to-market basis. There's really not anything significantly to speak about in terms of pricing.
Okay.
What we continue to do is focus on offering a great experience at a value that our customers expect.
So, well, they've announced a 1% increase in prices over in the States. Do you think this region's going to follow suit with a slight increase in prices?
Well, I think in the U.S., we announced the price advance across some items, not all items. Mm-hmm. There were several items that did not go up in price, okay. And it was not totally across the U.S. It was just in some localized markets.
Okay, it's not a nationwide increase.
And so okay. what we've seen is, again, we look at it on a market-by-market basis and the cost of doing business in that market. There's several factors that go into that.
So when asked about the price of a Starbucks coffee in this region, the Asian Pacific president, Jinlong Wang, said that the expectations of the consumer was one of the many considerations. Now, a number of Western brands venturing into emerging markets tend to market themselves to a higher income bracket. Is Starbucks doing the same here?
Well, I think what we've seen is Starbucks is readily accessible to many different people. And we attract consumers of all demographic, male, female, older, younger, different income levels. And we want to have products that match those consumers' needs. Mm-hmm. And not only look at the premium experience we provide, but then also offer value to our customers. So we've introduced My Starbucks Rewards here across the region through the Starbucks card. And what we've seen with that is that the consumer base has grown dramatically as they've embraced the Starbucks card and the My Starbucks Rewards program.
Well, these are 10 countries within this one region that you're looking at. How different are they in terms of consumption habits?
I think that, you know, when you compare Asia, and I'll talk the region holistically, yeah. compared to, let's say, the U.S., where Starbucks originated, our stores are used differently here. It's much more of a social occasion where people come in Asia with their family and friends. They want to have a place where they can share a great cup of coffee, have great food. And then in addition, what we also see is that the day parts are a bit different. In the U.S., 80%, 90% of our business is done between the hours of 6 a.m. To 11 a.m., mm-hmm. whereas in Asia, it's the exact opposite, where the majority of our business is done anywhere from 1 p.m. in the afternoon up until through the evening day part.
That is very
so
interesting.
It is unique.
They're probably not buying too much coffee late in the day, though, are they?
Well, we get a lot of coffee. About 80% of our sales in our stores here in Asia is espresso-based beverages.
Because okay. we were just talking about the Starbucks next door not opening till 9 a.m., and I thought, well, that's no good for someone coming into the office for a 9 o'clock start, but clearly the consumption habits in this part of the world are very different.
Well, we look at each store based on where it's located, and we mm-hmm. adjust the operating hours accordingly. We have many stores across Asia that operate 24 hours. In addition, what we're also doing is we are introducing new concepts. And new formats here in Asia. We've recently entered into drive-thrus.
Yeah.
And we now have 5 here in Malaysia. We have plans to have many more drive-thrus, and that just makes Starbucks that much more accessible to our customers.
So when you started these drive-thrus, what were the numbers like compared to the opening of just a normal store? Were you getting the same kind of revenues?
You see higher transactions going through drive-thrus generally because obviously it's a higher traffic area. And then, you know, obviously you've got the drive-through window and then you've got the cafe. Mm-hmm. And for us, we see, you know, a pretty good split between drive-through versus people coming into the cafe.
And it
doesn't
cost you that much more to have a drive-through setup versus just a cafe setup.
There's a little bit more investment on the capital side, but generally what you see are higher transactions and the sales to investment on a drive-through is very similar to what we see with our core cafes.
But in terms of product diversification, we talked about the Via, which is the single cup coffee, which has been going for 4 years, and you mentioned that that's a $1 billion global business, which is really quite impressive for a Starbucks version of an instant coffee. Obviously, it's a higher quality coffee. Do you see that growing substantially in this part?
Well, I think what Starbucks has done is over the last 4 or 5 years since Howard came back in 2008, we have had a laser-like focus on innovation. Via is a great example of us innovating in a category, in this case, instant coffee. that had had really no meaningful innovation over the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And when you look at Starbucks Via, what you get is a Starbucks quality cup of coffee anytime, anywhere that you want it. And basically, when you look at what Via is made of, it's made of high quality Arabica coffee, and it's all natural, 100% all natural. And you look at those ingredients and you taste the quality of the cup of coffee that you get from that. Mm. And it's the exact same quality that you would get when you go into our stores and order a cup of coffee.
So can we look forward to any other product diversifications coming out of Starbucks?
Most definitely. I think what you'll see is we're going to continue to innovate in the product space. You know, here in Malaysia, we've got a great local community program that we've introduced called Connecting Communities. And basically what we've done here is we've worked with the local farming community and identified four food items where we purchase local ingredients from the local farmers, in this case bananas. We have four items that we sell in our stores. When a customer comes in and purchases one of those four items with their Starbucks card, we take 15% of the proceeds of that sale, and we are designating that for contribution back to the farming community, where we hope to build an IT school for the local children. So that's just one way in which not only are we innovating, but more importantly, we're building that connection as a company mm-hmm. into the communities where we do business. And that's what's unique about Starbucks. You know, for us, we're a company that's been built on values. Values around not only being a profitable company, but then also balancing that profitability with a social conscience, giving back to the local communities, and taking care of our people, our partners.
Considering the relative infancy of the coffee culture in this part of the world, one would expect the number of coffee drinkers to just multiply. We've already talked about your market share expectations earlier on. Who do you regard as your competition, and what would you see as the biggest threats to your targets, your growth targets?
Well, I think for us, we respect all competition. I mean, we think that competition is healthy for all of us. It obviously educates consumer and also makes everybody better in the marketplace. What we do is we focus on what we do best, and that is roasting and serving high-quality beverages and creating great experiences for our customers. If we do that, we feel that we've got a great advantage in the marketplace because this is something unique to Starbucks, something that our competitors cannot replicate. And when you couple that with the third place environment, the stores that we're building, and the look and feel of those stores and the warmth of them, it's an incredible business model for us.
Well, thank you very much. That was John Culver, Group President of China and APAC for Starbucks, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.